Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Joining me right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com is Charlie Casserly. Charlie, of course, the general manager. The last time Washington was in this position, the 91 Skins beat Detroit in the NFC title game and then went on to blow out Buffalo in Super Bowl 26. It took 33 years to get back to this spot, Charlie. One game away from the Super Bowl. I just want to start by asking you for your reaction to this team and the season they're having.
Well, you know, you don't realize it's 33 years. You knew the last one, but 33 years, well, that's a long time. Okay. I didn't realize that when I thought about it for the first time. I look at the years. I think it's exciting. I think they're on a run here. If you just look at the records over the last 2 months of the season, they're right there at the top. I mean, they've won seven in a row, is it, right now?
Yeah.
They've got a formula. I think in the two playoff games, they have clearly won the turnover battle, and that's been the difference in the games, okay? But, you know, the quarterback is for real. I don't want to jinx him. I think he reminds me of Mahomes, okay, not Lamar Jackson. He's a much better passer than Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have necessarily the body build of Lamar, but he's a much better passer. I think Kingsbury's system has worked perfectly. They've got a formula for ball control, which helps the defense. The other thing is, and I just see them on television, they really play hard on defense. I mean, really play hard. That's one of the things that's helping them, because they're not as talented on defense as a lot of teams in the league, but they're making up for it with a ball control offense, an offense that is, you know, nobody's really stopping it. And again, the defense is playing hard, and they've been able to come up with some turnovers. So it's exciting. It really is.
I want to get into Jaden and the team in a little bit in more depth. What about just you were a part?
Tom, I don't want to just thought of it there. Where's Kornheiser with the bandwagon? Huh? Remember the bandwagon?
Of course I remember the bandwagon. I think one point I called him this year. I said, are you thinking about it? He said, I'm thinking about it, but I don't think I'm going to do it. It's too early.
Okay.
But you,
now he's too late.
He missed his opportunity this year. I mean, You know what it's like, though. You just brought up, you know, one of the signature, you know, parts of the 91 run. You know what it's like to win big in this town. Do you feel it as someone who is a part of it?
Of course, we don't live there anymore, but I do feel, I know what it's like, okay? I was on a radio show last week, and I said to him, I said, I'm going to ask you a question now. I says, what's bigger in that town to the people of that town and area, the inauguration or the Detroit game? And it's a silence, okay? Because we all know what it's like. Now, we understand the inauguration and the implication of that. It's the President of the United States. We get all that, okay? But you got to understand what this does to the people there. They used to say the government was much more efficient on Mondays. And I never knew what to make of it until sometimes I would be in government offices for different things. All were fans. Every one of them was a fan. Like, you know, 1 out of 10 would be a Cowboy fan, and then you'd have some fun with them. But it's there. The sleeping giant, I think, has woke up.
Yeah, I think you're right. So You told me months ago, right after they hired Dan Quinn, you said you know him well, and you said he is a culture builder. It's still, Charlie, as you know, as a roster and culture builder, it's really hard to do it this quickly. So do you point to the quarterback, as most of us have, and just say, well, that's why they've gotten here this quickly more than anything else?
Well, on the wins and losses, there's no question about that. But I think they turn the culture around by turning the players around. They have the biggest roster turnover in the league.
Right.
Okay, so you're not talking to the same audience. That's number one. The ownership has a tremendous effect on this thing. Okay? The owner has just given them whatever they needed, whether it's staffing or upgrading facilities. There's a clear commitment to win and giving the money to sign players. Now, they didn't go out and spend a lot of money, but they weren't restricted from doing what they had to do, whereas there was restrictions at the end of the Dan Snyder era on signing players. So there was none of that there. So it was an all-in, which everybody feels that in the building. And I think there's no question, just listening to the comments from the players, that they've totally bought into Dan Quinn and his belief on everything. And I think that has an effect on things like how hard the defense plays. I think, the fact that they come out and play hard every week. And there's no question the quarterback is huge. I mean, look at the games they won at the end of the game with him. They can't deny that. I mean, he's the difference on where they are and maybe even being under 500. I don't know. Maybe that's too strict to say. But there is a difference in culture.
Yeah, clearly there is. I mean, look, early on in Dan's tenure, he spent on players. He overspent on players. So it's more than just that with an owner, right?
Well, I think it's, obviously Josh Harris is feeling as I'm going to hire people and let them do their job, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't see Josh interfering in the draft. I don't see interfering in free agency. And definitely there were situations where Dan did that. Okay? So that's those are positives there. And those are huge positives. Okay? Because two things. One, you're able to make your own decisions. And two, you're not spending a lot of time defending your decisions, which takes time away from doing your job on that part. So I think those are things there. As far as the upgrades and the facilities, I don't know. They tell me they've done things. I don't know what they are. But I know, for one thing, they told me they tore out the AstroTurf field.
Yeah, they did.
Which is the oldest one in the history of the world right now, probably it was.
Yeah.
So, but that shows something when you're doing those things to everybody around you. Hey, this guy's serious about winning.
When I talked to you last, it was July when you were going into the DC Sports Hall of Fame, and you had not evaluated the quarterbacks. You hadn't seen them, so there wasn't a whole lot that you had on any of the quarterbacks, including Jaden. You've now had a chance to watch him. You've already compared him in this conversation to Mahomes more so than Lamar Jackson. Charlie, have you ever seen a rookie quarterback season like this one?
Well, the only one I can remember, okay, and we remember it vividly, is Dan Marino, because I think he opened up against us and just killed us, and he had about four touchdown passes or something like that.
That was actually, that was his second year. That was his second year. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was his first year. Anyway, no, I can't remember anybody playing this well, this fast. So, I mean, it's even the great ones like Manning, he might have led the league in interceptions. That's something that is a credit to the player, the coach. One team told me, he says, here's what's going to happen. Jaden Daniels is going to have a much better year than Caleb Williams, because they're going to put in a college offense and he's going to excel in it. And Williams is going to be trying to learn a pro offense and he's going to struggle with it. It's exactly what happened. Okay? But we're sitting here playing for the NFC Championship game. The team is, and nobody's really stopping them. Okay, so I mean, they put up what, 35 against Philadelphia when they beat them.
Yeah.
So and that is a very good defense. I mean, Fangio's one of the best coordinators there is, but they're loaded on defense now, talent wise.
Yeah.
So put up that many points on them. Now, obviously, Sunday will be a different situation on the road. Fangio's had a chance to recover from that game. They're deep playing very well, and it'll be a hell of a challenge there. So,
as a former general manager and as somebody that consumes and watches a lot, like, what's the GM's evaluation of Jaden? Like, what does he do so well? Do you see any flaws? Like, how do you describe Jaden, you know, through this rookie season in general manager's terms?
Yeah, see, there's a big difference between television and seeing tape. Tape gives you coverages and decision-making better than television. But what I see on television is kind of the obvious things. Poise, okay? Ability to make all of the throws, okay? In other words, short, deep touch, et cetera. He seems to be reading things well. So all of the above, you see accuracy, you see arm strength, you see touch. And he seems to be reading the defense well. So now in a spread offense, it makes it easy to read it, okay? But still, he's doing it. So I don't really see any particular flaws in him when you watch him. So now, obviously, that's not as thorough as I'd like to be, but from TV, the guy's doing tremendous.
Your thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury and the job he's done?
Excellent. You know, there's defensive coordinators in the league that felt, you know, their system is simple. We can defend it. That hasn't been the case, though. Now, the element they have, though they didn't have it Saturday night, I think, is the running quarterback. I mean, there are design runs, as you know, that they put in for him.
Yeah.
And that makes it hard, very hard to defend him. You know, when he's going to ad-lib and run when it's necessary, he's obviously very dangerous there. But what the running quarterback part is what he's given them. But that was really taken away Saturday night, and they still, you know, put up points in the course of the game. So they have a formula, it seems. You know, just watching them on television, they get the ball out on the quick screen. You know, that's like a running play to the outside, and that's kind of the way people interpret it. But he's kept people off balance with just watching the games. So I thought Bowles had a great plan against them, but they turned the ball over, and then Washington was able to control the ball.
How do you feel about, you know, this last decade of football where there have been true dual-threat quarterbacks that are a big part of the run game and designed runs and option runs, you know, where a lot of the college game has come to the pro game?
Well, years ago, there was a coach, Chan Gailey, who was the head coach in Dallas for 2 years.
Right.
Took him to the playoffs twice, and then he got fired, which Jerry regretted that. Then he went to Buffalo, didn't have a chance there. But he told me, now this is a long time ago, he said, what's going to happen is the college game is going to come to the pro game because the pros don't have enough time to retrain the college quarterbacks with the limitations on practice. So you're going to have to take what they do and adapt to them. And that's what's happened, okay, in the league. With the offenses. So a lot of with the offenses. Now, there's still some teams that, you know, will, you know, be a little bit different. But your observation is accurate as what's going on. The initial thought was, okay, can these guys survive running the football? And, you know, Mahomes has survived. That's a pass-first offense. But his runs are huge. Okay, we know that. But he's very smart about it, and he's so far been able to deduct the injury part of it there. Lamar Jackson's a, you know, physical guy. For the most part, he's ducked the injury part of it. So the injury part of it has not come up as much as all of us thought it was going to, okay? And guys have developed. Like a Kaepernick, he won early because there was a little bit of adjustment on defenses that they weren't ready. They had an excellent offensive line, an excellent running game, and a tremendous defense. As things fell apart around him, and he had to try to become a read the defense quarterback, he couldn't do it. Okay? That was his deficiency on the thing. So I'm surprised about the durability of the quarterbacks. I'm not surprised that the game has evolved this way based on what Chan Gailey told me years ago, and he was a visionary on this. He was ahead of his time. And he was a very good coach. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a career year with him, by his the play calling and running a spread offense. So with the Jets. And so anyway, that's kind of the way I look at the thing.
Would you, as a GM today, even look at a quarterback that's just a pocket passer, a Jared Goff type, as an example?
Oh, sure. Yeah, because at the end of the day, we talk about the running quarterback, but you got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to throw the ball, be accurate on your throws, operate under pressure, make all the throws. You got to be able to do those things.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at Lamar Jackson, he's evolved. And, you know, you can't get, you know, he did have a couple turnovers in the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, he did drive him down at the end of the game. And that was an excellent drive. So you see a lot of big-time plays out of him in the passing game. So he's evolved, okay? And so to say that he can't win because he can't be a passing quarterback, I don't think that's accurate anymore. I think it was at one time, okay? Now, Jalen Hurts, you know, book on him is you know, make him beat you. Well, there is some truth in that. But the way Saquon's playing, Saquon Barkley's playing, yeah, it's obvious you better stop him first.
Right. Yeah. You said about the defense, it plays hard, really hard, and I think everybody that's watched them all year would agree. But you also talked about the lack of talent. You know, they've got a couple of good players, but they've obviously not gotten the results consistently on defense. As a GM and watching this team, would that be the emphasis in the offseason? Where would your emphasis be? Defense first? Would you be looking for a number two receiver?
Yeah, well, they need a number two receiver. But in their system, it really doesn't show up as much because of they've been able to do a great job of scheming, and that's Kingsbury getting guys open.
Right.
So the lack of the number two receiver, I don't think, shows up as much as it may be in the future or with other offenses. But, you know, overall, you know, they need to, you know, upgrade on the defense. I'm not getting into specific areas of it, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. Sometimes it's easier the first year to fill in blanks because you have so many. It gets a little harder as you go forward on the thing. But I have total faith in the front office there to be able to do it.
How do you watch football these days? Are you just home watching games?
Red Zone.
You just sit there and watch Red Zone all day?
I watch Red Zone on Sundays. That's it.
All right.
So no commercials. Just highlights, okay? And they do more than highlights.
Yeah,
okay,
of course.
But I'll, you know, watch if I'm able to, I watch the Sunday night game, the Monday night game, and the Thursday night game. So you see a football game there on that part of it there. But, I'm a big fan of the Red Zone. So anyway, on that part there.
You mentioned
the commercials drive me crazy.
You mentioned the Eagles' defense. It is loaded and it's well coached. What?
Yes.
So in looking at that defense, any offense, how do you deal with that front four, with that linebacker, that middle linebacker, some of their coverage guys? Just give me a quick evaluation of them defensively.
Yeah, I haven't really got into the thing. I get a detailed report on every team in the league, and they were the last team I got, and I was just sitting there saying, there's no weakness here, from a talent point of view, okay? So, but as far as that part, I haven't spent much time thinking about that, and I'd have to see tape, or I'd have to ask questions of people about that. So I really don't have an educated opinion on that, on how to attack them.
All right, 33 years ago, we were 4 days away from Super Bowl 26. Just real quickly about that 91 team, and I'm sure I've asked you this in the past. When did you know that the team was great, maybe all-time great, and would win the Super Bowl or have a really good chance? Did you know it in camp? Did you know it during the season? When did you know?
Let me tell you, it's a good question, and I got a good answer for you, I hope. Let me take you back. In the fourth preseason game, we were embarrassed.
Right.
On that plane, there was a sense of urgency. It was nervousness. Okay, hey, what do we got here? Okay? And there was definitely a sense of urgency. Okay, and we came out, and I think we played Arizona and blew them out and shut them out.
Detroit.
At that point there.
Detroit.
Then the season just seemed to get on a roll. okay? Everything was going right for us as we went through the season. And, you know, you didn't sit there and think that, okay, and it where it's hard to go undefeated is you're not going to have great games every week. You're going to have lulls, and you got to get lucky a little bit. Like, you know, Houston misses a chip shot field goal.
Right.
They should have beaten us.
Yep.
And then we won the game in overtime, okay? We were lucky there. You know, the Dallas game, they get a Hail Mary at the end of the half. I think they recover an onside kick. So, you know, those things were, you don't want to say, you know, they made plays, but that's how close we were to being 15-0. And we'd have won the last game because we were ahead when we pulled our players.
Yeah.
Okay? But you're not sitting there thinking, like, my God, this is one of the greatest teams in the history of the league, let alone the franchise. You never thought that way. Just every game we kept winning, okay? Went into Buffalo. I think there was a great respect for them. I know when I went in there, I thought, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen. No idea what's going to happen in this game. And but, you know, we took over and we were at 24-0 in the third quarter. Game was never close. So then you start, then what happens is in time and history, you start thinking about this thing a little bit. And then at the 50th NFL Super Bowl, USA Today come out and ran a poll, okay, and studied things statistically and said it was the best Super Bowl team, okay, which is a hell of a statement. But yeah, a lot of stats to back it up.
Yep.
Then the ESPN did a statistical analysis over the last 30 years. It was the best team. And they started talking about strength of schedule, margin of victory, and he really began to say, wow, never realized that. So, and then the thing that hits you, too, is the 9 sacks.
Right.
Okay? Which is, you know, nobody comes close to that now. Okay?
Yeah.
And you realize 3 of those came when we benched players against Philadelphia.
Right, in okay? the finale.
Because I think the record was 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was, and Hannifin might have coached that 7 with the Cardinals. So I'm just guessing on some of these things from memory. And then you start thinking, holy cow, that's unbelievable. And then the team, you know, when they started voting the best 100 teams and everything, I still think the team was underrated, in my opinion. Okay? You know, like one thing had the Rams, when they won the Super Bowl, way ahead of us. I said, we'd go play the Rams.
Yeah, the greatest show on turf Rams you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. When you go to reality, okay, the Rams barely beat Tampa,
right,
who had no quarterback, and they barely beat the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
Okay? So, I mean, we're blowing out people right and left and played a much tougher schedule, so to come to say the least. So, I think with time you realize how great that team was. That's just me, my perspective on it.
But you when didn't know it, you didn't know in the operation. Moment. You didn't know in the moment when you went and beat the Giants. Remember that Sunday night game? They were the defending champs in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, that was a turning point. There was no question about it.
Yeah. Okay?
But what happens in the season, Kevin, is even Monday you come in, all right, what's the injury report? Okay, what do we got to do this week? So when you're wrapped up in it, you don't think about things like that.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get to the next week.
Yeah.
So, and even beating Buffalo by the way we did it, you're just enjoying the win. You're not sitting there saying, holy cow. We know the game wasn't close. Okay? The score was a little closer than the game, really. But then you realize, you know, Buffalo was a great football team. They never won a Super Bowl, but they were a great football team.
Did you know Rip was capable of that kind of a season?
I don't want to underestimate. When we drafted him, we knew what he was a Joe Gibbs quarterback. He was big, strong, with a strong arm, smart and tough.
Yeah.
Okay? We knew he didn't have any mobility. Okay? But, you know, it just everything went right that year. It seemed like every time he threw a deep ball, the guy was wide open.
Yeah.
I can't explain that.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, everything hit right for him that year. But give him credit. He prepared himself. He was tough, smart. He was, you know, really good at reading defenses. Really, the smart. I can't stop saying it with him, which was big in Gibbs' offense. So give him credit. He played at a level of Super Bowl MVP in the game. He played as an All Pro player, a Pro Bowl player that year. He had that kind of a year. So, give him credit for it.
Yeah, I had him on the show earlier this week. He's always been one of my favorite players from the past, Charlie, because of what you just said. He was so smart, and he was one tough, competitive SOB.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is that nine-sack thing, when you think about it, Rip wasn't going to avoid anybody now.
Right.
He was there.
Yeah.
So that's even more amazing.
It was a hell of an offensive line. You agree, and I think you've told me this before, the 91 team is the greatest team of that era. It's better than the 82, 87, and 83 team.
Yeah, I mean, you're part of all those teams. But let me say this. The outsiders, when they voted all that, showed it.
Yeah, okay? I agree.
So, yeah. And that's, one way to say it without being politically correct.
Always a pleasure, Charlie, to have you on the show, especially in these circumstances. This is not typical of the conversations we've had in the past when it comes to the team here in this town, but this is a nice one to have. Enjoy the football over the weekend. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Always a pleasure now.
Charlie Casserly, everybody. Always good to get his perspective on the team, and really nice to kind of remember 33 years ago. If you've been thinking about new windows, my recommendation is Window Nation. Heating costs are out of control, and especially in cold weather areas like ours, experts say it'll get even worse before the spring. If you want to save money, replace your cold, drafty windows with energy-efficient ones from Window Nation. Go to windownation.com right now and save big with 50% off all windows and window styles. Plus, get zero interest with no payments for 2 full years. Window Nation's products are built to protect your home with top-quality insulation and seals and often outperform the expensive guys, so you'll save money on utility bills year-round. Plus, their windows come with a lifetime warranty, and they can be installed in a day or less. There's no risk in moving forward with Window Nation, including getting an estimate. It's free of charge when you mention my name. I promise you, the best product, the best price, and the best company. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and over 33,000 five-star reviews on Google. 866-90-NATION, WindowNation.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start with a little bit of local. How about the Caps beating the Oilers 3-2? Now, there was a hilarious situation in this game, Kevin. The Caps gave up a goal. Logan Thompson said after the game, and Carberry kind of agreed with him, Thompson was distracted because during the course of play, nachos were thrown onto the ice. The goal still counted, but they had to then remove the nachos from the ice thanks to
Was Oilers. He distracted because he was hungry or because it got in the way of the shot?
I would guess more in his eye line.
Okay.
Yeah, because the goalie, you know, goaltenders, I mean, I don't know how much you've ever paid attention to goaltenders and the way they warm up. You know, they do that thing where they squirt water in the air to focus on the droplets.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a plate of nachos, or I guess a cardboard plate of nachos coming onto the ice is weird. I'm stunned they let the goal count. I would think that the officials would say, hey, nachos are on the ice. We need to stop play. But they did not. The Caps won nonetheless.
I like nachos at a movie. I like that fake little hot cheese thing that
I don't like.
Yeah,
that.
It's pretty good.
My nachos need to be loaded. Like I need chicken and pico and all the stuff.
Well,
so the fake nacho
cheese. I like
cheese,
those kind
of
nachos
do.
Too. By the way, the Caps. I mean, are you looking at this? I know we are wrapped into football people. They have the best record in hockey, and like the next best team is out west, and they're 4 points behind them. And if they played one more game. That's Winnipeg. The Caps have won 5 in a row. They've got 69 points.
Nice.
All right, that's the best in the league. They're 8 points better than Carolina in their division. They're 7 points better than Toronto, who leads the Atlantic Division in the Eastern Conference. Right now, they're on their way to a President's Trophy. Best record in hockey in the regular season. They weren't even predicted to make the postseason this year by a lot of people.
I don't know how many people thought they'd get 60 points at all this year, let alone
how about
at this
carbs?
Point. Yeah, it had been great. I mean, Tom Wilson scored his 20th goal of the season, too, so it's not just Ovi. A lot of these guys chipping in to help.
Wow. I mean, overcoming nachos during the game. Good for the Caps. I don't think Edmonton, as I'm looking at it, Edmonton is not. Oh, no, they are a good team. I'm sorry. I thought for whatever reason they weren't a good team. They are a good team. Yeah.
I mean, they've been a good players. Team. Yeah. McDavid's on that squad.
Right. Okay.
How about the other local action? Wizards in Los Angeles did not go as well for them. 111-88. They lose to the Lakers. Anthony Davis goes crazy. 29 points, 16 rebounds, and 4 blocks. I mean, Alex Saar had his hands full with Anthony Davis. Bilal Coulibaly led the Wizards with 17. LeBron had 21.
Apparently, getting out of the Atlanta Hartsfield on Monday night, after the national championship game, which LeBron attended, because he's not a bandwagon Ohio State fan. He's been growing up in Ohio. He's been a Buckeye since he was a kid. So you don't have a problem with him doing
He was going to go to Ohio State.
Exactly.
It was either that or Duke if he actually went to college.
Right.
He just didn't have to go to college.
LeBron was at the game, but I heard that getting out of Atlanta prior to the storm and the storm headed into the south was a nightmare. But he got back for the game in L.A. Last night and scored 21, had 13 assists and 10 rebounds. Man, LeBron is something else at 40 years old.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty succinct.
Analysis.
What else?
Right there. All right, how about the NFL? We knew this was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. The Vikings and Kevin O'Connell agree on a long-term extension. We don't know the official deals of the deal, but they're going to keep him around, as they should. He did a great job this year.
I think we knew this was going to happen, but remember, Jay Glazer had that report in, I think it was the final Sunday of the season, of the regular season, where teams were reaching out to Minnesota because they were interested in trading for Kevin O'Connell. And then we looked up how many times coaches have been traded. It's been much more of a conversation in this offseason than I can ever remember. Tomlin's been on the trade market discussion. Kevin O'Connell's done a phenomenal job in Minnesota. I mean, to win 14 games this year they had a very good defensive team, but started to get figured out towards the end of the year a bit. They had an offensive team that's loaded with talent. But to do what he did with Sam Darnold this year to win 14 regular season games, why this took this long even makes no sense. Look, they were outmatched at quarterback. Stafford over Darnold, period, in the playoff game. They just Darnold had two of the worst games to end a season that you will ever see. And his flaws were massively exposed by Detroit, who wasn't very good defense. Think about what Jaden Daniels did against the Lions Saturday night. And Sam Darnold, a 6-year pro, 7-year pro, had no clue about doing against Detroit's defense 2 weeks earlier. Pretty unbelievably different in the games. And then the game against the Rams, that's about as bad a playoff game as you're going to see a quarterback play. But that just, to me, you know, people have said here recently, especially after the two playoff games, how is Dan Quinn not going to win Coach of the Year? Well, it's not a playoff and regular season award. It's a regular season award only. And Kevin O'Connell, with Sam Darnold at quarterback, won 14 games. And Sam Darnold was definitely a reclamation project. No one was expecting that. They were expecting him maybe to start the season, but J.J. McCarthy to come in at some point and take over the Vikings. McCarthy gets hurt in preseason, and Sam Darnold quarterbacks the entire year. Washington had a rookie quarterback. That's impressive, too. Vikings roster was better overall by a long shot. I think Quinn really deserves a lot more consideration than the odds would suggest, Denton.
He took a team with a rookie quarterback.
What are the odds right now? Kevin O'Connell was a heavy favorite at the end of the season. It's a regular season award.
Yeah, I would imagine that he is still the pretty heavy favorite. I'm pulling them up now. Actually, Dan Quinn is the favorite on Vegas Insider.
Yeah, but do they recognize? Is Quinn the favorite? Quinn deserves it.
Yeah, Quinn. Vegas Insider has Quinn at plus 180. I guess that's opening odds. The Coach of the Year market is very odd.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up where you can actually bet it on multiple sites, and it's not listed right now. It's off on both of my places, or two of my places.
Yeah, it looks like O'Connell was a pretty substantial favorite, though, and Dan Quinn was like 40-1.
Yeah, because I think Sean Payton was even ahead of Quinn.
Which makes zero sense. Because the Broncos actually had a pretty decent defense and weren't the worst last year, whereas Washington did a complete
recalibration. I think all of those teams had kind of similar over-under numbers. Minnesota's was probably higher, though, than Washington's. Washington was 6.5.
There's 6.5. I mean, Dan Campbell is second on this list.
Yeah. Whatever. Did you see what Dan Campbell said, I guess, in the season-ending press conference?
I guess they brought the C game. Well, I would hope. I mean, if five turnovers is your B game, it's not very good.
He said something to the effect, hold on, let me find it here. Something to the effect that if they had brought their B game, they probably would have won. They would have had a chance to win that game. Quote, that was tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. Believes that if they brought their B game, they would have had a chance to win. But he said, we failed. We had a hell of a season, but we failed in that game. Look, you guys totally imploded. There is no doubt. Five turnovers in a playoff game is implosion. You know, one of them was massively forced. I would say two of them for sure. The Sanders still pick in the end zone, and the Armstrong forced fumble. The Quan Martin pick six is just a terrible decision and a pressed decision by Goff. The one at the end, hard to count. It's fourth down. The game's basically over. And which is the one that I'm forgetting? Oh, and then Jameson Williams. I mean, why are you letting your receiver, when you're gashing the opponent at the tune of 8 to 9, 10 yards per carry, why are you running a reverse pass with your wide receiver?
Boy wonder over there.
So they definitely contributed to the loss. But what's also true is they had no chance at any point during the game to stop Washington if Washington needed to score. No chance. Their defense was nowhere near good enough to win that football game.
I would say they left their B game at home, but you know, they're at home. Couldn't find it.
Look, it was definitely not their A game, because we've seen it all year. But part of why it wasn't their A game was Washington's offense was impossible to check during that game by their defense. Impossible. I understand they had a corner go down with a broken arm early, but they weren't going to stop Washington. They weren't going to stop us. What else?
So I guess we need to change the definition of cockroach or things that won't die, because Josh McDaniels is back in the NFL and he's going to be the offensive coordinator again in New England, this time under Mike Vrabel. You literally just can't get rid of this dude. He just, like the locusts, he is going to appear.
Yeah, but when you hear people who have coached with him as just a coordinator or played for him as just a coordinator, everybody says good things about him. As a head coach, no.
Not at all.
Not at all. But as a coordinator, there is a lot of belief in him, and obviously Vrabel has that belief for him to take Drake May and company to the next level. I do think that I'm a Vrabel fan. I don't know how I feel about Josh McDaniel. You can only go by what those that have played for him, because he's failed so miserably as a head coach. It makes you sort of pause, but I'd say look out for the Patriots in the next couple of years. They've got the cap space. They have picks. They've got a young quarterback that showed a lot of promise and has a lot of talent. Anyway, all right, anything else?
Nope, that's all I got for you.
All right, Denton's got five burning NFL questions for me next.
They're hot. They're really hot. They're burning. It's Denton's five burning questions.
All right, Denton, what do you got? Joe Theismann coming up at noon, by the way. Also, real quickly, Sunday, right here on the Team 980 and on 106.7 The Fan, the NFC Championship game, the Westwood One National Call with Ian Eagle, with Kurt Warner, and with Ross Tucker. So if you're out and about with kids and sporting events on Sunday or birthday parties or whatever it is, tune in to 980 or 106.7 The Fan. We will have the call of the game right here. All right. What do you got?
Yeah, on top of that pregame, 106.7 The Fan, me and Linnell at 11. You'll be on joining us at 11:30. Coverage starts
You're nice enough to put me on early so I can, get interrupted watching Terps and Hoosiers at noon. Yes, thank
coverage
you.
Coverage starts with Earl Forsey at 9 a.m. All right, questions. We're going to fire through these because we got Joe T coming up here. This one is firstly tongue-in-cheek, but it also isn't tongue-in-cheek. Do you buy into the fact that the Chiefs sold their soul and that's why they keep winning games?
Sold their soul?
Yeah, Mahomes.
You're probably I'm missing
not on
the question.
You're probably not on social media enough to fully understand
you can
that
tell.
Question. But there's like this rumor of that how they Mahomes is so good that people are starting to believe. I think mostly it's tongue in cheek, but there's some weirdos in the world that might actually be bought into it that think he sold his soul. Which is why you can have like that touchdown pass to Kelce where he's falling down and then Kelce's just wide open. Like that pass doesn't make
why any is
sense.
Kelce always wide open in the postseason?
I'm telling you, bro, the playing with the food thing was a real thing. They just
coast. It's definitely that's a real thing.
They just coast.
Get bored in the regular season. There's no doubt about it.
And as you're trying to three-peat, you might as well get bored in the regular season.
Is Patrick Mahomes, if he wins the Super Bowl, beating the Skins in the Super Bowl, will he be considered the GOAT?
No,
because he
still has
Brady?
He would pass Montana. Right now, I have Patrick Mahomes as three.
Montana's got four Super Bowls. He'd match Montana.
He'd match him, but I think he would pass him in the eyes of many because, he doesn't have Jerry Rice. And, the past two seasons, the surrounding cast outside of Kelce has been
He's still
rough.
Behind Brady.
He's still behind Brady, but I think he would surpass Montana, be number two overall.
How many MVPs does Mahomes have?
Two.
Yeah. How many does Brady have?
Brady, I think, has three.
Yeah, because Peyton won a bunch.
Peyton had
time,
four or five. But yeah. Peyton had a co-MVP. I hate co-MVPs. I think it was Romo suggested the other day. It might have been. Maybe it was Collinsworth. It was one of them suggested that Lamar and Josh Allen, I guess it was Romo because they were calling that game, said that they should be co-MVPs. Shut up. Just make a decision. I don't care who it is. If you rock with Lamar or Josh Allen,
Well, it's a voting. If the votes are tied, you end up with Co.
Yeah, make it an odd number of votes. That's simple
true.
Math.
Make it an odd number of votes. But it's actually points, remember, assigned to, first place, second place, etc.
Brady has three MVPs, by the way.
Okay. All right, what's your next burning question?
All right, question number two. How much of a hit did the loss to Buffalo put on Lamar's legacy?
Boy, we have not talked enough about that, and we're not going to for a while because it's about our team. I think I think the last drive really saves him from a harsh conversation in the offseason. 88 yards. He was brilliant on that drive. He threw a ball to Mark Andrews for a two-point conversion that should have tied it, and he dropped it. The ball, by the way, could have come out a little earlier. Total small nit to pick. He seemed a bit hesitant, and he sort of steered it a little bit in Andrews' direction. Bottom line is Andrews dropped the ball. It was right there, should have caught it. That last drive saves Lamar from a very difficult conversation, because the truth is he wasn't great in the game. He had a terrible interception in the first quarter, a terrible fumble in the second quarter. The interception did not lead to points because Buffalo had a big penalty, but the fumble did. And, you know, it was a significant point in the game. It was 7-7. Game turned into a 14-7 game after that fumble. He had his team failed him in spots, no doubt, and he didn't have his best receiver in Zay Flowers. But the last drive, I swear to you, as much as, you know, Saturday night was by far and away the thrill of the weekend, I was so tensed up. I wanted Lamar to deliver on that final drive because I knew what was coming. If he threw a pick, or if they went, you know, four and out, you know, or they didn't get it done, and he didn't look good. The first pass of that drive to Likely, he pulls the string on. It's an incomplete pass to a wide-open Isaiah Likely, and he throws it short of him, and I'm like, oh, my God. But he came back with big plays, but he admitted it. He's tense. He's antsy. And he appeared to be that way in the playoff game against Buffalo. But they played a great team. It was a toss-up game, and I think the 88-yard drive at the end and the drop by Mark Andrews saves him from a harsh offseason conversation. But you can say two things are true, that they didn't lose that game because of him, and they had a chance to win it because of him, but he also did not play a great game and doesn't play well and hasn't played well in the postseason. Those things are true. We got to get to Theismann. We'll finish the burning questions next hour. Joe Theismann next.